The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Gold's dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, aka Dave from LA. Just want to thank you all for listening today. We got a live show set up for you, and today is May the 27th, 2016. It is a Friday, and I know that you are all ready for the weekend. It's a long weekend for those of you that are engaging in the days off. Know that you're happy about having Monday off. So we are going to kick off our live show for you today. For some of you that are traveling, welcome to the summer. I guess this is the beginning somewhat of summer. For all of you that are graduated today in the different schools, and congratulations to you, but I would definitely say to you all, make sure that you do get an education, not just a schooling, because a schooling is mostly about someone else's agenda, and education is about your agenda. And I think that's so important at this time of year, and really at all times of the year, and for us to never ever forget, make sure to get an education. So just want to say, hey, it's a great Friday. Let's get started in today's show. But of course, before we do that, we do the first things first. We go to the administrative needs at hand, and that is Black Talk Radio Network is having a crowdfunding campaign, and it's a crowdfunding campaign for Black Talk Media Project. And you can find this crowdfunding campaign at www.blacktalkradionetwork.com crowdfunding digital black media crowdfunding campaign. Sorry about that. Sometimes you get a little tongue-tied. This is not my profession. It's something that I fell into, so you can tell from time to time, which is cool with me because we do it how we really are. So we have a crowdfunding campaign for Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that are brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And this is a way that you can give back and actually energize the network to continue to do the great things that it has done already and the things that are to come that are going to be beneficial to you. This is one of the few outlets that sincerely, once again, I say sincerely, care about your overall development as an individual, as a family member, and as an individual part of the collective community at large. So There is great reason for us to support this so that this will not be lost. And how can you do that? One of the best and easiest way to do that is to give your financial energy. I don't like to say financial support, but it is that. But I like to say your financial energy, because it's more of that than anything else. See, whenever you go to work to actually give your energy and then you actually receive a wage for that, that is because the energy that you spent at that particular place, and it was a monetary value that was placed at it. So now you can transfer energy by giving financial energy support to the network so that it can continue to do the things that it needs to do, because just like all businesses are just like children in the sense that it is a person. It really is a person. Every person is not a living spirit. But a business is a person that has its own identification, and it needs its energy in order for it to grow and to develop into a full-fledged self-sustaining business. And that's what Black Talk Radio Network needs. And we ask that you would support them and feed the business so that it can continue to grow and meet your needs, meet our needs, and collectively have a beneficial good to all. So how can you do that? You can do that by going to the crowdfunding campaign that is at Black Talk Radio Network, crowdfunding digital black media campaign, and you could go down and donate via PayPal or send check or money order, and we're going to go over the different ways in which you can do that. Option one would be, okay, there it is. Option one would be to make a one-time contribution of $24.99 or less. All donations are extremely appreciated, and we thank you for those. And you can make that contribution via PayPal or by sending a check and money order, and make it out to Black Talk Media Project, P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina, 28120. That is Black Talk Media Project, P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina, 28120. You can give your donation, write out a check or money order, and send it there. That is number one, and when you first option. And when you do that, you will receive the monthly statistic performance reports, the radio station, and social media operations via email. That's what you will receive in option one for giving a contribution of $24.99. Next option, option two, to make a one-time contribution of $25 or more. In addition to receiving the monthly email report, you will get a free Black Radio Station Matters t-shirt as an appreciation gift for your contribution. To receive more than one t-shirt, a t-shirt will be provided for every $25 contribution that you make. So in order to get two t-shirts, you would need to donate $25. Three t-shirts would be $75, and four t-shirts would be $100. They come in increments of $25. So with that being said, this is the key to this whole thing. Make sure that you give your sizes for the t-shirts that you are ordering. And that way you will have the sizes that you need. If you need four t-shirts, make sure you have four different sizes if there's four different size variants that you need. So that is option number two. Option number three, to become a monthly contributor of $25 or more, in addition to receiving the monthly email reports and your free Black Radio Station Matters t-shirt as an appreciation gift, you will be eligible to receive gifts from the network. So those are all of the ways in which you can support the network so that the overall agenda and the overall development of this network will be a benefit to you and people like you, because this network was put together for the demographics that you happen to be in. And it was built for the demographics of you, but it actually, the information that is here is pretty much for everyone. This is really a human living network. Yes, there may be different opinions and different things, but the sincerity of it all is that it would never, ever, ever mean to do you any harm, because one of the things that we have to do is we have to become what it is that we want to achieve, and that's what Black Talk Radio Network and all the programs here, in my opinion, exemplify. So go to blacktalkradionetwork.com and find the crowd, and then check on the crowdfunding digital black media campaign and make your contributions there. Tell your friends, tell your family members about it so that the network can continue to grow. Also, now, with that being said, now we need to go over to Tando Radio Show, where you can follow us on Facebook, and that is THANDO on Radio Show. And soon enough, we will be actually exiting that platform to exclusively just do our overall postings and our information and sharing of different things here on Black Talk Radio Network. So, with that being said, some of the things, if you would like to support a great product from people that have your best interests at hand, you can actually get a seasoning that I definitely would recommend to anyone, even if you are a chef or just someone that cooks from time to time. This will enhance the flavor of many of the dishes that you make, and it's all natural ingredients, herbs, spices, and minerals that are in this, and this stuff is absolutely delicious, and it actually adds flavor to pretty much everything, and it is called Uncle Fats. And I would say, if you would like some great seasoning, go to getunclefats@gmail.com. That's getunclefats@gmail.com. Also, if you would like to buy precious metals or exchange your cash for real money, you can do that with us at Prosperity Mint. That's Prosperity Mint, P-R-O-S-P-E-R-I-T-Y, Mint, M-I-T, excuse me, M-I-N-T. And you can check out our website. We're just going to be finishing up everything, so we'll be completely fully functional. Got to get with our web designer and finalize everything. There's a couple of things that we need to add to it, and we'll be completely good to go. But we are able to take your orders now. If you would like to do that, convert some of your cash into real money, and that is extremely, extremely important, then you can go there or you can contact me. If you're a Tando Radio Show listener, you really should contact me directly by texting me at 951-790-8330. Would be the best way, because it's the easiest and most expedient way to actually communicate, because my phone will ring, you know, for off the hook, and I don't always get to be able to call everyone and back, but I am able to most times see a lot of the text. Sometimes I lose text in how many texts that I receive, but definitely text me, or you can email me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com. And the numbers 6 and 1 are numerical numbers. You don't spell it out. It's wolf, W-O-L-F, the number 6, P-A-C-K, the number 1, at gmail.com. So, with that being said, and I don't know why I didn't preempt this by doing this while I was talking to you all, but hey, and what we're doing now is that we need to go to Tando Radio Show on Facebook and check out some of the articles that we have posted there. Posted a couple of good articles there that we need to look at. Here we go. First article comes from CNBC.com. Wells Fargo launches 3% down payment mortgage. So check out this article. Man, this is a setup for everything that, you know, this is something that is going to, you're going to see a lot of this happening. So check out what's going on. Next article comes from TheGuardian.com. U.S. military special forces pictured aiding the Kurds fighting in Syria. And my commentary was, this is not good. This has been going on for a while, and the other nations that are actually fighting on the other side, Russia, has already known about the U.S. involvement and the overall U.S. engagement in Syria, and this is how you are going to start to move towards global nuclear war one, GNW1. There will be no World War III. Next article, today's show, live show today, part two from yesterday's broadcast. We are going to finish up yesterday's show, plus add a couple of things to it, and just look at some current events. Next one comes from CNN, Cerebral Naive Network. And I never really like to push anything that they do, because it is definitely an basically an admitted CIA propaganda machine. But sometimes, hey, you know, it is what it is, and as long as you know it and you can read between the lines, you'll be good. It says the celebrity figurehead president of the United States makes a visit to Hiroshima. Obama makes a historical visit to Hiroshima. This is critical, and my thing was, to me, I thought it was significant, especially in the times that we're in. It says, do you think a message is being sent here? Well, I do. What do you think that is? They were there for the G7 meeting. And one of the things that I laugh about the G7 meetings is that you look at the G7 meetings, and all of those nations are flat broke, except for maybe a couple have some economic relevance, and those are the ones that are going to leave, except for France, which is flat broke, but they're going to follow Germany. All of the ones that have any economic relevance is leaving this, and they're going to align themselves with the BRIC nations, in my opinion. They're going to see that relatively soon start to happen. So I believe that there was a message that was sent to the second largest holder of U.S. Treasuries that you better not exit this, because you remember what happened here. What they don't tell you about the World War II, when the U.S. dropped this nuclear device, this weapon of war, on the innocent people of Hiroshima and in Japan, was that this was a war crime, regardless of if it was not a war crime at that time or not, because they chose to attack the people of this country, and they gave you a lie saying that that it was all pushed because they were attacked at Pearl Harbor. No, what they won't tell you is the complete truth of what happened. They were actually isolating and sanctioning Japan and starving them out. Japan had no response, no other recourse but to attack. And when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, for those of you that have ever been to Pearl Harbor, you've heard me say this before, that the naval base of Pearl Harbor is adjacent to civilian homes. And when the Japanese had attacked Pearl Harbor, not one home, not one civilian home was attacked. It was only the military installation that was attacked. That was because they were following the rules of engagement, of moral engagement at that time. And this is something that, you know, as far as the Japanese have had a long history of being brutal. You never wanted to be captured as a POW with the Japanese because of their brutality. But when this war had kicked off, they did not attack just any person in there. They attacked only one thing and one thing only, the overall installation. And believe me, the United States knew that they were coming. They actually wanted them to come because there was a gain that they were going to make. And regardless of what you hear about TSA and hear about terrorism, this and that, the greatest act of terror in this modern time that we know of was the dropping of two nuclear devices on innocent people that happened Brother to be Dave, living in Japan at that time.
Brother
that
Dave,
is
can
the
you
truth.
Hear me?
That is the truth, and that is never ever spoken about. When it could have been very easily that you could have just demonstrated the capabilities of that weapon, and then there would have been a surrenderance. Or if at worst you could have dropped that on a military stronghold that Japan had at that time. But no, what did they want to do? They wanted to terrorize. What does terror mean? It means using force, fear, and political influence for a political economic gain. That's what terror is. And so this was the first great act in this modern time. Not what they told you. The truth is far from what they report. The key is, are you an investigator of it? Do you really want to know what it is? And once you start to find out, you start to see a clear picture. Oh my gosh, this whole thing has been nothing but a conspiracy agenda that is waging a overall global war, famine, economic destruction, and disease and pestilence against the people of the world by certain individual groups and corporations. This is the truth. And some people can't handle the truth because they benefit from the overall system that is in the conspiracy agenda. Or, let's face it, people want to take the easy route and just be left alone and let them do what they want to do. As long as it doesn't affect me, I don't care. But guess what? They have no reverence for you or respect for you at all. It's someone else today, but it's your butt tomorrow. Believe me, because it's an insatiable appetite that they have. At some point and at some time, we need to stand up instead of stop sitting down and being quiet like the good cowards that they had raised us all to be via the schools of obedience. So check out that article. Next article comes from Bloomberg. Japan fails in bid to have G7 warn of global crisis risk. They tell you everything before it happens. And it is my opinion that it was also a part of making sure that Japan stays in line with the program. At least that's what they're going to tell you. Because what they like to do is they like to divide and conquer and to actually covertly move your attention from where the true threat is coming, and they establish a falsehood of a threat so that you will give all of your energy to an oasis of a threat. And guess what? You learn. Nothing changes, because nothing that you do against an oasis is effective, or a mirage. Nothing that you do against a mirage affects the mirage. You have to stop targeting the mirage, and you have to start looking at what the true force behind things are. And in order for you to do it, it's very easy. All you have to do is look at who benefits, who has the means, capability, opportunity, and who benefits from the overall crimes against humanity. And you will come up very quickly as to who the usual suspect is. But you'll also find out something else. You'll find out something about you. You'll start to find out what you're made of. Do you have the overall presence? Do you have the capability to withstand and say no by your free will choice? This is the real information that you need to know to find out who you really are. It's never about anyone else. It's about who you are and how you resonate as a person that really, really matters, and as a living, eternal entity. This is critical. But here in this article, they're telling you everything. This comes from Bloomberg. So there's a couple of articles that we're going to take a look at today. But I want to get back to what we missed yesterday. Also next, when this comes from Sputnik News, 1970 computers floppy disk, U.S. nuclear nukes run. They're running the daggone nuclear technology on floppy disks from the 70s. Well, I will say this. They probably run a whole lot better than some of the stuff that's been running now. But the thing is that it's old, it's outdated, and it's easily taken offline. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Next article. All of this is telling you where this GNW is going to happen, and more importantly, what is really going on in the world. The setup is in. The fix is in, and it is at hand. Next article comes from the dailybeast.com. U.S. Air Force is running out of fighter jets. It's the perfect, let me tell you something, whenever you want to commit a crime, and the only way to commit the perfect crime is to clean it up before you do it. And you do it by plausible deniability. Here it comes. Next article comes from the WashingtonPost.com. The superbug that doctors have been dreading just reached the U.S. So check out that article. I don't worry about superbugs. I don't worry about vaccinations. I don't worry about their lives, because I go to what the great creator God Almighty has placed on this earth as sustainability for us to live in a healthy environment so that we can have great sustainability. And that's, I always believe, and I never will ever change my overall, it's not a belief system, it's what I know. And it's a big difference from believing and knowing. Huge. And I know that for every disease that man has created artificially, God has an herb to cure it. So I'm not worried about any super bug, any lies that they want to tell, because one of the things that I try to endure and do is, even if I somehow already have their so-called superbug or their overall, but from the vaccinations when I didn't know that I received as a child, because I refused to do it as an adult, and or from the GMO or the poison food and air and water that they put in the nanotechnology that they put inside of different things to start to deteriorate your body. But one thing that they will never ever have of mine is my free will. So it doesn't matter what the pain is, that's not going to change my direction of my free will and my eternal life. But see, I'm not really worried about any super bug because I go to what the great creator has created to defeat anything that they create in the laboratories. Positively works 100% of the time. This is why it's so important for us to not to reject knowledge. That's the reason why we stay in the position that we're in, because we reject knowledge and we accept foolishness. And there is a process to train us all to get us to accept foolishness. And once that process has been embedded and entrenched in us all, it is very difficult to turn that back the other way. The system wasn't able to get strong people to become weak in a short period of time. It was progressive over years. Now we're going to have to take weak people and start to get them to realize how strong they are. It may even take even longer to turn that train, that ship, in the other direction. But the key is, make sure that you're a pusher or a puller. Don't just be on it for the ride and just the watch, because the pushers and the pullers are determined, and they will actually move in that path much, much faster than everyone else. And this is a part of your eternal life. So regardless of what their super bug is, not really concerned about it. But I tell you who should be concerned about it, all of the people that have blind faith in the system, you need to be concerned about this super bug. And not only that, you need to be concerned about them changing your harmonic frequency to where you no longer even control your free will. That is what they want, because then you have the perfect slave, and there's other things that they're going to do to ensure that. Next article come from Sovereign Man. And man, we may take a look at this one. This is, depending on how much time we have, this is a very important one. It says, wow, Congress wants to prohibit the feds from bailing out bankrupt states. See, This is something that we've been preparing for, and I know you know, but this is the reasons why. This substantiates and validates you doing what you're doing. Forget the naysayers and the people that do not want to do it and the people that have no clue. You help them as much as you can, but you do not help them at the expense of you sacrificing yourself. No, no, no,
Brother
no.
Brother Dave, I have
That's
a question.
That's their choice. Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, my question is, and earlier you didn't hear me, but I was trying to chime in, but I saw the bullet holes in the Schofield Barracks that I was living in while I was stationed in Hawaii. So, I mean, just think about that, that they have not replaced these barracks since the 1940s and had me and many other people living in these buildings, man. They would flood during monsoon season. Well, you know, they don't have a winter. They have a rain. But, man, yeah, you can see where they plastered over the bullet holes and stuff, man. That's some of the first things the guys show you when we got, you know, in our quad and whatnot. But, yeah.
Wow. Well, and you know what, Scotty? I thought I heard you, but I wasn't sure. Scotty, tell everyone just how close some of the civilian population lives to Pearl Harbor. As far as if you are a
oh yeah, I mean it's right there. It's right there. I mean Pearl Harbor, like when you go to the memorial and stuff, you know where they. I think it's the Arizona or something. Mm-hmm. I've been out there once.
The Arizona,
or twice.
Yeah, in the Missouri, I believe.
Yeah, that's like a little corner of a little spot that's right there.
It is.
On the water, you know what I'm saying? They're surrounded by high-rise buildings and what have you. You know, very highly.
Yes.
I think that's Pearl City that the harbor is in. So, yeah, Pearl City. Yeah, Pearl Harbor, of course. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's Pearl City. Yeah, very densely populated. So if they had dropped bombs on
there,
a whole lot of people would have died. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what it was like back in the 40s, but, you know, when I was there in the late 80s, very densely populated, one of the largest cities on Oahu. But my question that I have for you was pertaining to the story on the Federal Reserve. So they're trying to pass a federal bill to prohibit states from going into debt with the Federal Reserve, because that's really what they will be doing. I mean, the people will be on hook twice. They will be the hook to the Federal Reserve, which is a private entity, very secretive. You know, we think we know some of the names that's on some of the boards, but they're not transparent or anything. But it's a private corporation that prints money and then charges the U.S. government, thus you, the taxpayer, interest on money that's just created out of nothing. Just a promise to pay is really the U.S. mm-hmm. government that's promising it. To pay this interest to it put all this currency out there. I mean, it's really a sham when you think of it. But what you're saying is that then, you know, like states that's in debt, or let's say they, instead of them cutting back on the prison slave population and stop locking up people for nonviolent victimless crimes because it's putting them in debt, that, oh, the Federal Reserve come in and they offer to service that debt, you know, with interest. So, I mean, it could be a number of scenarios, but the citizen, therefore, would be on the hook twice to the tax man through the state and the federal government to the one paymaster, the Federal Reserve. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, and we're going to take a look at that. Yes, Scotty. And what it is that, and also they're saying that the Congress wants to prohibit the Federal Reserve from bailing out bankrupt states. This is a trick to this whole thing, because they're saying that because, one, they're telling you that all the states are already bankrupt. They're telling you, why do you stop someone? It's just like you stop someone from breaking into your home. Why? Because they can do it, and people have been doing it. And this is huge. We're going to look at this whole story in today's show in the second hour, because I think we definitely have to. This is critical. This tells you where we are. There's always a trick to everything that they do. It's always a trick. And the key is that we need to stop engaging in their daggone magic tricks, because they're going to continue to pull out a rabbit out of our backs. And this is the whole thing, as Scotty was saying, you're on hook to them. And the thing about it is that you didn't even ask for this debt. How about that? That's, you know, I get amazed when people talk about, get mad at parents for taking out and ruining their child's credit, taking out car loans and different things and ruining their young child's credit. But why are you getting mad at them? They're only doing what the U.S. government is doing to you. Why aren't you mad at them? This is a learned behavior. This is a learned behavior. And yes, Scotty, we got to take a look at this, because we need to look at this and then dissect it from there, because this is critical. Congress wants to prohibit the Fed from bailing out bankrupt states. And it says just days ago, in the midst of the Puerto Rico debt, 24 members of Congress introduced, and I can't read the rest of it because it's a small subtitle, but we're going to take a look at that definitely in the show. And this is critical. We're going to do Venezuela, then we're going to jump into this one. But and we'll get to that. But Scotty, I just want to, you know, because I was in Pearl Harbor in the 80s too, and I was amazed right then and there. I knew that's when I first was introduced that this was a big sham. One, whenever they try to get you to mourn something, that's because they're trying to blindly lead you down a road of having blind faith in something, because they're stirring up your emotions.
White nationalism is what H. Rap Brown called it. When they get you to buy into patriotism, that American patriotism, that's really, if you look at the history, been white nationalism. And that's all that is to get you to buy into a mass mindset, a beehive mindset, just like the Nazis or every other regime has used to brainwash people to follow an agenda.
Yep, to have that military worship. And then next thing you know, they draft in your daughters. And then, like I said before, when this first, and I know Scotty remembers, when they first talked about giving women command staff in the military, one of the first things I said, this is a setup, y'all, for drafting our daughters. Lo and behold, it comes out now. Let me tell you this. they're going to draft your teenagers. And I'm talking about teenagers as low as 14 and 15 years of age. They're going to draft them for military combat service. This is what is going to happen, because when they go to war with Russia and China, it's going to be every citizen is on the chopping block. Man, this is something that is not going to end very well. But, you know, Scotty, because I was at Pearl Harbor. Oh, let's go to a commercial break. I'm sorry, we're running over. Let's hit a commercial break. When we come out of the commercial break, we'll pick up on Venezuela. We'll pick up the rest of the stories here, and I'll make the point about Pearl Harbor. In 1 minute, in 2 seconds, let's go to a commercial break. You're listening to the Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. I just want to thank you all for chiming in and listening to the show today. If you would like to chime in, I got ahead of myself there, then give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 5490-32-pound. Then hit star 61 if you would like to jump in on the conversation. Just bring up anything. It's Friday, whatever. It's open forum. Give us a call, and a dialogue is much more effective and important than a monologue. So if that's something that you would like to do, we'd love to hear from you, and let's jump into those conversations, because we learn so much when we start to conversate. And I would always say, let's do more than just conversate. What we actually need to do is conversate to establish an agenda. Even if you may not say what it is here, make sure you're doing that. And I know that there are many of you that are, and I thank you for that. And it's necessary that we do that, because we are in an asymmetrical attack, and there has to be an asymmetrical response that we are in. Do yourself, your family, and the generations of people that you have yet not named a favor, and be the warriors that you were created to be. Be the free and self-determining and sovereign individual that you were created of by the great Creator God Almighty. There is no reason except for your acceptance of enslavement and bondage. That's why it exists. And if you resist, it would flee. So the great Satan will flee. That's what is needed. So just before we went to the commercial break, Scotty and I were talking, and in the 80s when I was there, that's when I realized that this whole thing was a sham. And it was from the standpoint, I could look at how close the people that lived to Pearl Harbor, and I looked at the photos of Pearl Harbor, and you can actually see the homes that are still, some of them were still there. Some of them had been refurbished or remodeled, but they were still in the same places. If the Japanese Navy wanted to attack the people of the United States, they very easily could have at Pearl Harbor. But that wasn't their intent. Let me tell you why. Because that was the storyline. Follow the script. You are to do this, and we will do this. And guess what happens? The people are always under control and under the control of the hidden hand. So this is why we need to know history and to realize that it is a sham. Follow the principles of an investigation. Who has the means, opportunity, capability, and who benefits the most from it all? And there will be your usual suspects. So
you
just
know,
wanted
Dave,
to make that point.
Also, while I was there for like 3 years. I was all over Oahu. That's where, you know,
wow.
Hawaii is a chain of islands, but Oahu is where everybody was at. That's where Pearl Harbor, the attack happened. But I don't recall any, like, monuments or any observances or memorials for, you know, thousands of people who were killed by the Japanese on the Pearl Harbor. I don't recall anything like that, man. The attacks were limited, if you want to call it, or they might try to call something a civilian. They might be talking about, like, officer quarters, because officers, they, like, live in houses and have, you know, like, little communities and whatnot, man. And but nobody else can live there that's not in the military and whatnot. So I think they may have, you know, strafed a couple of officers or something, but it was still on base. You know what I'm saying? Still on base. So that's all I wanted to add. I don't recall any huge, you know, ceremonies or days of remembrance for the victims of Hawaii, all the civilians, you know? Like you know, compared to Hiroshima and what's the other place? Nagasaki.
Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And you know what's so funny about that, Scotty? I remember the stories of the people of Hawaii saying that the Japanese bombers and fighters that flew over before they reached Pearl Harbor were actually waving to some of the civilians on the ground as they were going to attack Pearl Harbor. I remember that. That they were waving at the people.
Hey, I had a guy wave at me. I was over a woman's house, visiting her house that, you know, I was seeing and whatnot. But I was on the street, man, parking my car, had got out the car, and I heard this streaking noise. And, of course, I used to work on an aviation base. I was attached to an aviation maintenance unit. So I know what, you know, aircraft sound like. And this was a low-flying fighter jet, man, over Charlotte, you know, and this dude looked at me and waved at me, man, you know what I'm saying, and waved at me and whatnot. But, you know, that's how close he was and low he was flying, getting it across there, man. But, you know, for that second, it's like, for, you know, how time can sometimes slow down.
Can slow.
Yeah. So, I mean, even though this dude probably doing 800 miles per hour, you know what I'm saying, for that instance, with our eyes locked, and he waved and kept trucking. So I believe that the people could see the Japanese fighters and pilots and stuff. I believe it.
And you know what, Scott, it's funny you say that, because when we were in when I was in the military, I had the same experience in close air support in combat, where you could actually wave to the pilot as he buzzed over you. So I know it is. And remember, those planes were doing, they were much slower than they are now. So I remember the people saying that they waved to the Japanese pilots and the Japanese, and it was the Japanese fighter pilots and bombers that initiated the waves to the people. So, but the U.S. didn't do that. So it's a lot to it. So check out the next story. Next story is Iceland. This one comes from Iceland pulls off a miracle economic escape. Check out that article. Then there's did Harvard scientists secretly discuss making a human from scratch? Check out that article. The perfect slave is what I said. And let me tell you what it is making from scratch. It also means from changing you. That's really what they're trying to do here, is they're trying to change you also. So then the next article is comes from Charles Hugh Smith blog spot. Here's why all pension funds are doomed. Check out that article. So those are some of the articles of the day, and we have a caller in queue. We're going to go to the caller, too, and then I want to start the Venezuela video right after the caller and then finish that up. Then I want to go to this article that we posted about, as Scotty and I were talking about, that Congress wants to prevent the Fed from bailing out bankrupt states. Very, very important. So let's go to the caller. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Hey, peace, Dave.
Peace, brother Bragg. How you feeling?
Oh, I'm straight, man. I'm I woke up today. It's a good day.
Yeah, that's right. It was. And I just want to thank you, Brother Bragg, for Brother Bragg and I have, you know, from time to time, Brother Bragg and I will engage in a long, good conversation. And I just want to thank you, Brother, for who you are and what you do and what you inspire other people to do. It's, to me, you are one of the great treasures, just like Scotty, just like all of the callers that call, Brother and Sister Davis, just like Roz, just like, you know, Brother Mel and Jambone and everything. But you are uniquely Brother Braggs, and I sincerely thank you for who you are and just the personal relationship that we've developed from that. So what's up, bro? How you feeling?
All right, man. Look, man, I'm sitting here. I was just watching this MSNBC. You know, they can be killing me, man. They got these puppets that sit up here. They spool all this nonsense, misinformation. But on the other side of that, you know, they're trying to wipe Bernie completely out. And I would assume, you know, I don't have a choice. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to make that quite clear. But they want Bernie out more than anybody. They'd rather put Donald Trump as the face of this nation. Now, you know what? Something that's so vivid, and everybody should see it and stop trying to act like they don't see it. Man, we live in a racist ass nation, and they're not scared to stand up and say they're racist, man. They're free speech, so they just showing you who they are. So I wouldn't be mad. You're informed now. So if you were unconscious about it before, you should be quite conscious and pinch yourself. You're not sleeping. This is where we at. So you might as well take some basic consideration about this. And this was said by a man way greater than me. It's about time everybody start putting that mind into being black so that we can move forward, stop the slavery, stop the murder of our children, and build a nation within this nation that we have to do. And the only way we're going to educate our children is if we have to do it. Nobody's going to do it for us. I mean, there's so many things that we're going to have to make a commitment to. I'm saying, not just say it, we're going to have to make a commitment and get out here and do it. Because it's getting pitiful. You know, just on TV for an hour, I see so many things. Whenever they put one of our sisters on TV, she's with a white girl in a TV commercial for cars and whatnot. I mean, with a white boy. What are they saying to you? See, because they send you these subliminals. And they do it repetitively. It's all repetitive. That's why I really don't watch it. When I watch, I'm insulted by it. That's all I had to say, Dave. I don't want to go on no tyrant.
No, you're good, bro. And that's what this forum is for, is actually for people to actually talk about some of the things that they're seeing and what is detrimental, you know, to our existence. And this cross pollinates into all of humanity. And this is critical. This is critical. This is critical that we understand what is really happening and why are we in the world allowing this. It happens only because we allow it. Yes, they have a free will to do something, but see, the thing about it, we have a free will also to do something as well. It just seems like their free will is always superseding
stronger
everyone else
than
because
ours.
Everyone else doesn't decide to do anything.
Yeah,
that's
man. Say that again, Dave. Say that again, because you're right on point about willpower. It's like they will to do wrong is stronger than our will to implement justice.
Exactly, Scotty.
Well spoken.
That's exactly it. They have their free will and we have ours. It's just that we always allow ours to be subordinate to the overall systematic agenda, and that is always going to have us at the bottom and in a position of disadvantage. Nothing will ever change. It will only thing that will change is the depths of the bondage, and the depths of the bondage would be the one that we cast ourselves in. And we're just too powerful. We need to be the creators that we have been designed to be. Go ahead, Brother Bragg. I'm sorry.
But you know what, though? It's this created imagery. You know what I'm saying? This reality, and when I speak of it, I want you to understand I'm speaking of a created reality where these images you perceive on TV, it's all bullshit, but a lot of people don't get it. That it's put there to soften you up, to condition you, command response, to move in a certain way. I mean, everything that they show you, they teach you how to commit a murder, how to do. They teach you all this bad shit. They don't teach you this good shit though. They don't teach you how to make love. You know what I'm saying? They teach you how to rob a bank or who the best criminals. Everything that they push in this society. Who killed the most people? How many wars? Come on, man. Is that how you build a civilized nation? Is that what you use to perpetuate knowledge, wisdom, and understanding? War and corruption and secrecy? Come on, man. That's all.
You know, and I'm going to share something with you. Brother, if Brother Braggs doesn't mind, there was a conversation that we had this morning. Brother Braggs, I would like to bring up a personal conversation that we had, just a small part of it, if that's okay with you. And it had everything to do with, remember we were talking about the music, we were talking about music, and there was a, you know, they purposely got rid of X Clan. They purposely got rid of Africa Bambaataa.
The powerful music, because we had some powerful music that was making people move forward in a positive manner, reaching back to
and
our
Bill.
Ancestors. We went through that, and they killed.
And Bill.
They came in and, man, they threw in that.
Right.
Slap that bitch and all that crazy shit. And people went for it. And this is what I'm talking about, this manufactured reality that we let people manufacture for us, like we don't know right from wrong. We must have a moral compass and know right from wrong for ourselves. Nobody can give you that. You have to have that. Because if you don't have that, you're easily misled. It's like being a soulless person. You can do anything and then go ask for forgiveness to the almighty friend. After you done killed 900 people, now you want forgiveness. But you didn't have no forgiveness or mercy when you was doing these raw tasks. So it's just what you look. What I'm saying is that they're teaching people to act really badly, to behave badly to one another, and people are not really perceiving it that way. They're just taking it as, because you're so desensitized, when you see somebody shot, you don't think that's horrible. I think that shit is terrible. First of all,
yes, we love a villain.
To you, you know, but they got people. People will step over you, man. I used to work for the public transportation. Somebody laying out here dying, people will step over you instead of saying, man, do you need some help? Come on, man.
Yeah.
We better than that. And that's all I'm saying. I come from black neighborhood in Brooklyn, East New York, in the 60s and the 70s. We didn't have a lot of nothing, but we loved each other. This is what's missing from this whole world that I live in now. You don't live in neighborhoods. You live in places where people got a house because you don't know these people. That's how it is. They designed the shit to be this way. Everybody go to their little cubicle with your little box ass head, look straight ahead. When they tell you to get up and go out, get in your car, go to work, come back, get ready for the next day. This is how they got people moving, so people don't pay attention to what's going on in their day-to-day life for quality of
your
life.
Program.
Before you know it, you don't have no life because time has run out. So you got to stop and be aware of the moment. That's all I'm saying.
No, and I totally, I love it. I love it, brother, and it's very, very important. You know, one of the things with the music that hip-hop originally started to build and to flourish and to mature into was a great threat to the establishment. And then what did the establishment do? They did something asymmetrical and that was a genius. What they did was they got rid of X-Clan, they got rid of all these other things that were building. And what did they replace it with? They replaced it with ends with attitude. And let me tell you why that was a psyops. Let me tell you why that's a psyops. Because they made a movie out of that.
And what they
did with that was this. They made it popular by triggering the emotions of people instead of triggering the love in people. And they made gangsterism so-called popular, and who did that serve? That served the overall agenda because that perpetuated the destruction of our community. Why did they have to do that? Because the rhythm and the beat and the harmonic frequency of the music of original hip-hop was a threat to the establishment. So what did they do? They made it acceptable for you to have ends with attitude. And
hey,
then they
hey.
circumvented that whole system, and let me tell you how you know it worked so well, because they're probably going to get an Oscar for that crap.
And look what they do. Anything like...
Oh, wait, hold one second, Brother Bragg. Scotty was... I think you couldn't hear
him.
Go ahead, Scotty.
No problem. Hey, I just want to let everybody know Black Talk Radio, since we're talking about hip-hop, is a proud sponsor of the 2016 Hip Hop Film Festival NYC. You can book tickets now It's going to be exactly that, a film festival, also people involved in web series and documentaries and things of that nature. So people want to find out more, they can go to hiphopfilmfestivalnyc.com. Again, Black Talk Radio, of course, that means Black Talk Media Project is a sponsor, and that's the 2016 Hip Hop Film Festival NYC.
Definitely look that up. I would love to go back home and be a part of, and I'm probably going to, my schedule, depending on what's going on.
It's
going to
be in August, 4 days, 4 day long festival.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a festival.
You know when it is, Scotty? August what?
Let me just click on there and go to the website, and I will tell you. It's I think it's the early part of August.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I'm not.
I haven't been home in a minute.
It may be something that we need to do. So,
the film festival is from August the 3rd through the 6th.
Oh, wow. And that was, you know what, that actually works good for my schedule because I have some things booked, and that may be the time. And so that is so, so true. But, hey, listener, we got 3 minutes. You know, Brother Braggs, you were going to say something when Scotty was. What were you going
to
say?
I was just saying how ratchetness. Everything is about being terrible. Like being a gangster is supposed to be a good thing. Being real street. Being this real nigga. All this crazy shit. Listen, we are the standard of excellence, man. We have always been. We have built civilizations. This is what we have always. This is what our people have done. Now they didn't wipe our memory. But man, that's why we got books. We got to do better. We got to do better.
Brother Bragg, say it right. You know they've deleted. Because that's what technology does. Go ahead.
When you start attacking the foundation of a people, which is our women, once you demoralize our women, and then you got black men attacking their mothers by saying bad things about women. I don't care who you are. We all came here from a woman. We couldn't be here without a woman. You see, they want you to think you can, but you can't. See, this is the shit that's sacred that they like, for instance, to just get rid of our babies like no big deal. But if you kick a dog, they'll lock your ass up or something. It's crazy shit. All I'm saying, we live in a fucking world that's upside down. Where bad shit is made to look good and good shit is made to look bad. That's all I'm saying to you. And I want you to just think of what I'm saying. They done turned shit upside down. Got people acting terrible and they think that it's all right. I was watching a thing that a young person, this older sister, she might have been about 40. These young girls, they're probably about 14 or 15. They're in a park. They walk up to this old lady. Well, she's not an old lady. 40 is not old, but I wouldn't have never in my wildest dream expected, and these are all black people, these young girls would attack this lady the way they did. Now, I've been around a long time. I've seen a bunch of shit. I come from Brooklyn. I went to Frankie K. Lane High School in Jamaica, Queens. I've seen a bunch of shit in my day. But this shit here, man, we would never have done anything like that. I'm just saying, the shit that I'm seeing around me is like the world has fucking lost its mind.
And I'm going to tell you, you know what? You know, one of the things behind that is this. And the thing about that is because we have no culture. We only follow trends. And when you follow trends, then what establishes the trends? The mainstream media does. And this is why the so-called program, the so-called outlets known as, you know, places, world, you know, this and that, world star and all this other stuff, and they make that stuff popular. So what do young impressionable minds want to do? They want to be popular, and they want to follow the trends. And what are they willing to do? Pretty soon they will be killing their parents. And this is something that has never been.
I have had a couple that have done that. That's what I'm saying. The world is turning upside. This is something I could have never imagined, a young black man slapping their mama or something. Because this is where I come from. My mom was 4 foot tall. That was a general right there, Jack, and you didn't mess with her, period. And all my friends' mothers was the same way. And guess what? All of them garnered that same respect from each and every one of us, and we wasn't their blood child, but we was their children, because if they told us something or said something to us and said, young man, come over here, you took your black stuff over there, you shut your mouth, and that woman or that man spoke to you or whatever, they never put their hands on you, but they told you they're going to make sure that they get hold of your mama and make sure that your mama and your daddy put their hands on you. So that you knew when you got home, it's going to be hell to pay. But this was how we lived. All this rearing up at old people. Man, I'm 60 years old. I ain't never did that. Right now, I respect the person older than me. I still say, yes, sir, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am. I'm talking about my elders, my peers. You know what I'm saying? People above me.
Right.
I still give them the same respect, and I'm getting to be an old man. So stuff I'm saying, I can't comprehend it. You know what I'm saying? I'm a dinosaur in this shit.
Well, you know what it is, because it's a part of this conspiracy agenda. When you totally debase the moral conviction of any person, they will do whatever it is that you now have control over them to do, because you wiped out, you deleted their connection to what is meaningful, moral, and necessary for life. They're willing to be soldiers and killers. A soldier can never do what a warrior thinks. These are warriors here. So, man, Brother Braggs, you know, great, great points. Hold on, Brother Braggs. Let's jump into Venezuela. And everyone, if you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 5490-32#, then hit *61 at any time. Excuse me, once you do that, then I will see you in queue and definitely bring you up. We got another person that's in queue, and so I'm going to bring them up. Hold on, Brother Bragg. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
This is Rob, chiming in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
What's up, Brother Rob? How you doing? Yes, sir.
I'm doing okay. I just wanted to chime in.
Yes, sir.
I'm feeling the conversation and understanding understanding the thought process that goes into it. But I'm an 80s baby, okay?
Yes,
and,
sir.
And what I would like to put out there is that a lot of these kids have lost respect for their parents.
Yeah.
And the reason that they lost respect for their parents, because your children can't see you getting stood on by white people, and then when you come in the household, you know, you want to stand on them. You understand what I'm saying? And or, man, not telling the kids the truth. You know what I'm saying?
We have not telling the kids the truth, yeah.
I mean, and a lot of these households, truthful conversations are not being held. People are not telling these kids the truth, and you can lie to yourself, man, but you cannot lie to these kids. They're going to see right through it. You understand what I'm saying? And
yes, sir.
These children, man, they will, in my opinion, and this may be a broad generalization, but a lot of these children is just looking for somebody to take the lead. You understand what I'm saying, man?
Yes,
when they
yes,
see
yes,
that
yes,
person
yes,
that's taking the lead, man, they will follow. Man, thanks for taking the call.
And you know, and what I mean, and I believe what Rob is saying. Great, great call, Rob. Hold on, Rob. Don't go anywhere. It's good to hear
you know
from you.
Man, that's two things. First too. That's male energy, and feminine energy. When it's only one energy, it distorts balance, and that's real. And I understand that part. But the time we live in, the things that these kids see, we didn't see this stuff in our generation. I mean, I was born in the 50s. I'm getting along. I'm getting along. And it's just starting to dawn on me that I'm getting old, you know, because I don't look at that at that way. It looks to me I'm getting better. But as I see things around me, you can't not move forward unless you respect your elders. It's like if you're in the military, even if you don't respect those guys, you got to respect the rank. Or get out the service. Now, I'm not saying you can get out your race, because you can't, but we all got to work together. I'm saying for us to, because remember this, it's like we being attacked by an alien force, and this alien force turns us on ourselves. So we have to be careful how we handle one another. And then remember this too, each one of our households is a different reality for different people. So if I brought somebody to my house, it might be different to the next, but so we all got to take that into consideration too. But still, we should have a moral fabric where we can come together and coalesce so we can build. Otherwise, we'll never be able to build. If our young people don't respect the older people, look, our older people were miseducated too. That's why I harp on that shit. Read a book. And I don't be trying to kick nobody, but you gotta read a book. The young people gotta do the same shit.
Yeah,
people don't
I agree.
Really realize that. This is what people don't realize. We always been under siege here in this country. This is our country. We have controlled this whole world. The royalty of Europe, that's all black people. You don't have to believe me, but I'm telling you. Hindustan, all those places over there, I'm saying all these civilizations, it's us. Once we realize this, the propaganda that they use to break our families, we got to be bigger than this shit. Because we got to know who we are. That's the whole thing. We got to know who we are. We the men are under the cream. We the mothers and fathers of all civilizations. Once we realize that, all this other nonsense to the wayside so we can build.
I agree.
Yeah. Can I hold on, heard? Go ahead. Yeah, hold on one second. Yeah, hold on, Brother Braggs. Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
So my question would be, because I definitely agree, and so my question is, like, how do you really bridge the gap between the older generation and the younger generation? Man, because the younger generation is hungry for knowledge, but it's not a lot of it that's being transformed. Like, I live in the city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, okay? Now, it was a time in this city where black people couldn't be past a certain point of the bridge, right? Now, I'm 35 years old. I just learned that maybe last year. And I'm fucking pissed off about that. You understand what I'm saying? When I look at my family, you understand what I'm saying? And I don't even got words for how pissed off I am about my family not telling me who my enemy is.
But see, that's how black people were. They took this stuff with them to the grave, because just remember this now. These our people were terrorized, but you got to really put yourself in where they was at. They kept their mouth shut a lot of time to keep everybody alive. Because you had people that would hang them, that would kill them. Some of them would fight back, but they never tell you about the brothers and sisters that fought back. Now, my people from Louisiana, a lot of people disappeared, some of my relatives. You know, and that's where my people are from. All I'm saying is that when one of us look at each other, I hear people saying, you're not black, not Negro, not... Remember this. Every last one of us, we are from the African diaspora. All these people who prey upon us, they only see one thing. They see a black person, a colored person, a Negro. I don't care what you want to call it. They see us in our colored skin, in our black skin, in our beautiful, proud black skin. That's how I wear mine.
Definitely.
So right there should tell you who your friends are, who your enemy. Now, everybody can't be your friend, even if they look like you. So you got to identify. See, now we're going to get too deep, and I don't really want to go all deep.
I think that's...
You got a common bond that we should be obvious. One common bond that should be obvious to all of us. Whether you come from Puerto Rico, Africa, Brazil, America, Cuba, South America, because we everywhere. And once everybody realizes, we're not one thing. We're everywhere.
Hey, we got to get ready to go to a commercial. Hold on, Rob. Hold on, Brother Braggs. Hold on, Rob. We got to get ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to jump back into this conversation. Scotty, is it time for us to go to a commercial break? Yep, it is. There it is. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 641-715-3660. The participant code is 5490-32#, and hit *61. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks. Hold on, brothers.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Got my man, Brother Braggs, and Rob had called from Wisconsin, and And, you know, he had brought up some good points, and I wanted to make some points about this. And one of the things that I like to do here at the show is that because there's so much that we have endured, there's a lot that we have to say, and there's a lot of things that we need to do. And, you know, Brother Rob had brought up some real good points. I wanted to touch on some of the points that he talked about. He talked about how do we bridge the gap. And I think it's really important that we bridge the gap by we ourselves being ones that are building bridges and repairing things, and our young people can see what's going on. Because it's something that we have to always remember, in my opinion, from what I have seen and learned in life, is that you can never, ever force anyone to do anything. If God can't make anyone do anything, neither can we. But we need to establish a protocol and a way in which how we live, that they can look at that with great pride to emulate that. And I think what Rob was really touching on, and I know he knows this, Brother Braggs, and all of you know this, and he said something about the parents not standing up to what's going on. And that's basically the parents not standing up against the agenda. And that's what the agenda wants. They want to make docile parents that actually groom domesticated children. So then the children may be full of wildness and strength and everything else, but over time that will start to wean away because it's being destroyed from within. No one likes to fail. We have to learn something from so-called not winning all the time. The key to winning is to first learn how to lose. Okay, that's how champions are built. And so I think it's really critical, you know, when Rob said that we've lost, that the children have lost respect for their parents, and what they have done is that they regained respect for what the parents have surrendered to. And that's a deadly thing. Because if we don't take our children, the streets will. And I'm not talking about the streets that they told you about. I'm talking about the streets of the conspiracy agenda to continue what has gone on for so many years, and just to change everything up and keep everything the same. Change up what? Change up just their tactics, but the overall methods, and the methods may change, but the objective is still the same. And this is something that we have to come to as a people and start to realize something, is that we are creators individually first. To all the young people, regardless of what your teacher, your parents, or anyone else says, if they're not nurturing that ability in you, that you don't need self-esteem, you need yourself to be esteemed and do the things that you need to be doing that perpetuates the benefit of not only you, because it's not just about you. It's really about everything that you stand for, on what you're building, because you're living an eternal life here. So, Rob, I feel you. And I think that where we start is with the individual person. Let's take this attack one person at a time. Instead of trying to come out and they tell us that you need to have a grandiose scheme, you need to have a big march, you need to be doing this and doing that. No, no, no. They set up where you have to petition for a petition to have those marches. Why don't we just have the greatest march that we can ever have, and that's walking away from the system individually first? That's what I think where all of this starts, because when one person says, I don't care what you say and what you do, no. It's the most powerful invoking of self-determination and invoking of real freedom that any person can do. We don't have to take and win this whole thing. What we need to do is win within ourselves to see who we really are and create the heaven instead of living in the hell that we condone. And that's just my opinion, bro, on what it is that we need to start with our young people. If you establish some truths with the young people, like you said, brother, tell them the truth, they will be your biggest ally. You take the energy of the youth with the wisdom of the elders, and you are unstoppable. In the management of the people in between, now you have the ability to reestablish culture, and you don't follow any fads. So I think this is something that is critical for all of us to engage in. It's about the individual, because the great creator God Almighty made you individually special and perfect. It's up to you to make it work perfectly. We got another call that's in. Brother Rob, man, continue to call, man. I would love to hear from you. And I would say that you have made that commitment, and this is what is so needed. And the battle has already been won. It's been won in you. They got a problem, not you, brother. Much love, much respect.
Peace, peace.
All right, peace. We got another call, Brother Bragg. Let's take this one. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Peace. What's good, Brother Dave? This is Ross. Peace, Brother Bragg. What's good?
Peace, peace.
What's up, hold on, Rod. Let me tell you something, man. People wanted you to explain the prayer that you had. So I know before we get into what you wanted to call about, could you first explain the prayer that you engage and that the doors that you open in that prayer daily?
Absolutely. The oil prayer essentially is to remind people, especially African people specifically, that we are not outside of the, like you say, the great creator. Everything that the great creator has made, we are a part of that. So we can never exist outside of that. And that the creator would only have our greatest good at heart at all times, no matter what our actual circumstances are. So when we work with the creator in turn works with us. Matter of fact, Malcolm said it once a long time ago, when you take one step towards Allah, he takes two steps towards you. And that's the mentality and the relationship that we had with the oil. And the oil prayer is just to remind us that we are nothing less than God on a smaller scale, and that we have to align our forward momentum with the momentum of the Creator. And in so doing, we will be unstoppable. What we've been taught to do is to align ourselves with who we have been taught is the most powerful entity, and that is our oppressors. So the people who actually work with white supremacists to further inhibit the development of their own people and other non-white people are people who believe white people are their gods. The people who actually fight that are the people who understand that we are the creators sent here by the creator, and that through us, all the other so-called races exist. So when you have that understanding, that prayer actually puts you in the mind frame of understanding your position in the universe as a child of the Creator, and first of all, his first child. Because when if you want to go to the Bible, when God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness," he was only speaking of African people. Anyone else who is non-African is what they call a kind of man or mankind. The only man there is the African man and the African woman. And that's what that prayer kind of exemplifies and just tries to remind us to stay in tune with the Creator, because that is where our liberation will lie. So a lot of the work that you do facilitates that. And the terms that you use when you say great creator and all the other terms that you use to exemplify natural life, a natural lifestyle, spirituality, meditation, and self-development is exactly what our ancestors spent millions of years doing. And the reason I say millions of years is because they've even lied to us when it comes to the origin of man. We're always told that the oldest human beings were found in Ethiopia, and that they were 200,000 years old. But what they're speaking about are tall humans. The original humans were diminutive blacks. These are the people that are called the Twa, the Hutu, the Mbiti people. These are all some of the many groups of small black people that lived throughout the continent and spread all around the planet. And ultimately, these people have genetics that go back over 6 million years. So what they've been telling us about modern humans only being 200,000 years old is incorrect. We've actually been here for millions of years. And it is only through those original people, which even in the Nile Valley, they were venerated in the form of Bes, the deity Bes, Ta, which is another diminutive black who was one of the oldest deities in Africa. These were the original people. And we knew this without having to disrespect their graves by so-called archaeology or anthropology. Matter of fact, even just to go to leprechauns, people think they're like jokes, but in reality, that is an ode to the original diminutive blacks that inhabited Ireland before white people came and killed them off. It's actually documented in the book by Dr. Van Sertima, African Presence in Early Europe. Even by Eric the Red, he talked about landing, I believe it was in Greenland, and when he got there, he saw these short black people that had an agricultural lifestyle that lived in small caves. And the white men were so tall, they couldn't fit in the caves. And they said when they encountered these black people, that the black people did not understand. They never saw white people, so they actually were scared of them. They thought of them as ghost people or devil people. Anything that had no color was considered evil, negative, and unnatural. So these people would run into their holes to escape white people. And what those white people did was basically starve them out of the holes by waiting for them, because they knew that they would never want to have any encounter with them, so they basically waited outside the hold until they were starved out, murdered them all, and took over that land, which is how white people inhabited Greenland. To get back to what you and Brother Rob were talking about, this goes back to what we talked about recently about culture. We no longer have a culture. Our culture is white supremacy. And the reason why is because we have been taught culturally not to pass on life-saving information to our offspring. We have been taught to live a life that coincides with that of the dominant people who are oppressing us. And there's a great book I'm reading now called The Delectable Negro by Vincent Woodard. And in that book, he actually discusses the history of homoeroticism and cannibalism that white people practice on Africans. And he, in the very introduction, he discusses the fact that black people were not talking about this. But all throughout African slave narratives in our history, we have been getting physically, psychologically, emotionally consumed by white cannibals. And it's the lack of culture, the lack of passing on life-saving information to future generations that has us in this quandary. We don't explain to our children the history of how they got to this place in this world and why they are still in a place of oppression and subjugation to white people. And what we need to do is actually facilitate giving them that history. I'll give you an example in my own family. My wife, I don't know if you know this story, but there's a group called the Trenton Six. This group dates back to shortly after the Scottsboro Boys incident of racial oppression. And the Trenton Six was probably the most famous case out of the state of New Jersey in regards to false accusations against young black males for crimes they didn't commit. Essentially, there was a white junkyard owner who lived in Trenton, had his own junkyard. Somebody came into the junkyard and beat him to death with a Coke bottle. They basically randomly picked up six young men, three of which are directly related to my wife's father and my wife, actually, and threw them in jail with no evidence that they killed this man. Matter of fact, it was the first big case that Thurgood Marshall took on. Einstein spoke out about this case. Paul Seeger spoke out about this case. Paul Robeson. It was an international case. And eventually, these people were exonerated, but their lives were ruined. And she didn't know that until her father happened to tell me one day we were just spending some time together alone, and we had gotten to such a place of deep trust that he revealed this family secret to me. And when I told her, she was shocked. So we did all this research and found out that, you know, these people basically, they did a Central Park Five to her three ancestors. And then later on, I found out that how they actually got to New Jersey, they were originally from America's Georgia. And my father-in-law's father killed a white man for mistreating him. And he packed up the family, relocated to New Jersey, and that's how they got here. No one in the family ever talked about that until I was in the picture. That was literally non-discussed information. But he was hardcore. He was not taking white oppression. The guy, from what I understand, had been, you know, harassing him for a period of time. He got fed up. He killed the dude. Never got caught. Disappeared. Came up here. And these are the things that we need to pass on. We don't understand the intimacy of these experiences, what they are doing to us. We don't understand. We have no concept of the rape of the black male. Whenever you hear about slavery, you only hear about the rape of the black female, like, overtly. No one talks about the rape and actually eating of black male flesh by homosexual white people, and also the rape of black males by white females. None of this is ever really discussed on an overt basis, and it hasn't been researched as much as it should. I would say The Delectable Negro is probably the best book written on the topic, and it's really about us not holding secrets. And we have been inculcated with the whole concept of keeping secrets ever since slavery, because that is the way white people keep control over us. If we're not able to explain to them, to explain to our children what they do, how they do it, and the fact that there's no such thing as a good white person, they are all white supremacists, and in some form or fashion, if they do anything for you, it's always to your detriment, even if it seems positive in the moment. There's always an inequity being worked in secret. And unless we start to pass this understanding, this history on, both from the past and contemporary, we're going to continue to have these lost generations that carry this genetic righteous rage but have no place to put it because it's not being used in context. The context is we are at war. We have been intergenerational prisoners of war since our first contact with white people. They have been eating us since they first contacted us in West Africa. So this is something that started late. From the moment they captured slaves, they started eating them, and there's stories of this going back. And what they did was they projected that psychology onto black people, so that now when people talk about cannibals, they think about indigenous people, African people, or non-white people, when the origins of cannibalism is white people. Same thing with scalping in the United States. Scalping started with white people taking the scalps off of Native Americans to prove that they killed them. And Native Americans were so disrespected by that practice, they were so angry with the disrespect of the misuse and theft of their body parts, that they started doing the same thing back to white people. And then white people turned it right side down, and made it look like Native Americans were savages that were scalping white people, when actually they got it from white people. Same thing with the term barbecue. Barbecue started from indigenous people in the Caribbean, of which I'm a descendant of as well, and these people used to actually slow roast white people because they got fed up with white supremacy. And the term was barbacoa, that now has converted into the term barbecue. So all of these things we don't understand, because it's a part of our history and our legacy, and we're not passing this knowledge on. And as long as we don't, we're going to continue to deal with the same situation and have the same intra-racial problems within our group. Thank you.
You know what? Yeah, great, great. You know what? With the history can be validated and substantiated, and the truth is the truth. And the only thing that I would say is, for me personally, and I understand, everything that you're saying, because it can be validated and substantiated in real evidence, and this is the things that did happen so much. And these are the things that we need to actually focus on and look at, so that those things won't be able to be repeatable, so that we do not continue the cyclical cycle of destruction. And that is where the real problem lies. I know of this, and I understand all of this, but one thing I refuse to do for me is I won't say all people. Or there is a selective, definite group, and I feel you, and I know why that is, because this is something that is so has been so detrimental to our overall capability, that the prosperity that we've had throughout the past has been lost and shifted. The wealth has transferred away from, and it has been misused in a very demonic way. And I would say the real problem of the whole thing is a lot of the demonic entities and the demonic energies that people choose to engage in. So I wouldn't say me myself that it's all, because I haven't been able to substantiate that in so many different ways from my overall personal engagement with different people. But are there some people that there needs to be great discerning with? Oh yes, you know that that is. But people make a decision. Every person has a free will to decide what they're going to do. And everything that you talked about and what this brother has talked about is true. It's been happening for millennia. It's been happening for a very long time. And the main reason why it happens is because in all instances, in so many ways, there is an allowance that we have to where we give blind faith to something, and that's where the first step to genocide. And so I really do thank Ross for everything. He brings it, and that is necessary, and that is something that is needed. But I think is sometimes we have to be mindful of the danger of the word all. And that's my only thing. Roz, he definitely disagrees with me. He definitely disagrees. But that is my brother. And this brother is welcome in my home with my family, because that's the beauty of us all. But I also know that there are other people that I have an extension. There's nothing that anyone can take from me, because my hand is always open. But the truth of the matter is that these are things that we need to deal with directly, so that they will not perpetuate themselves into our next generation. So true. Hold on one second. We got to get ready to go to a commercial break. We're going to come back to you. We got another caller in queue, but we're going to come right back to you, brother. All right, hold on one second. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
I think what you're trying to ask is, why am I so insistent upon giving out to them that blackness, that black power, that black pushing them to identify with black culture? I think that's what you're asking. I have no choice over it. In the first place, to me, we are the most beautiful creatures in the whole world, black people. I mean that in every sense, outside and inside. And to me, we have a culture that is surpassed by no other civilization, but we don't know anything about it. So again, I think I've said this before in this same interview, I think at some time before, my job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Gold Dinar would have had serious...
No, it really isn't, because, see, people are thinking in terms of, well, they want to brag about being black, which means that they are implying that there's something incorrect about being white, even though these are the creations of the Creator. See, and then so everybody gets into this black pride thing or white pride thing, and people immediately start taking sides. It's not about taking sides based on black and white. It's about taking sides based on justice and non-justice. Well, that's what you're really aiming for. Being black doesn't mean anything if you don't believe in justice. And being white doesn't mean anything if you don't believe in justice, except you mean in... you believe in non-justice, and that doesn't make any difference what shade you are or how tall you are or who your cousin was or anything like that, or what so-called nationality you have. Like a lot of people say that they take pride in being an Englishman, or take pride in being a Frenchman, or take pride in being Afrocentric. Well, you're not supposed to be proud of any of those things if you don't believe in justice. Because these words mean nothing. No nationality means anything. And waving a flag, if you don't believe in not mistreating people. You've got to believe in not mistreating people, and you got to believe in helping people that need help the most. Otherwise, you don't even have any business breathing.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and just want to thank you all for listening. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, definitely give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#, then hit *61. Bro Raj, you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir. Bro, let me just tell you, man, I love, and it's this is so, what you bring to this show is so dynamic. Because it's necessary. And I don't want you to think just because we disagreed on something that we are unagreeable, you know, and no, I know you know that, and I just want to express that to you. But I know that the great thing about our experiences is that there are individual experiences that we can substantiate and validate why we feel and think a certain way. But I know you, And knowing you, we've never met, but I already know you. The love that you have for our people and where you want us to go is in our best interest. And it's not at the expense of destroying anything other than building everything. And that's what I know about you, because you know how great we build when we are in the space of that. And man, it's amazing what you bring. And we definitely want to do a show with you, just, you know, exclusively. And from time to time, I would love for you to guest host the show if I'm in absent, because it's important that we actually build into actually develop ourselves into where we really start to think from what is our capability. And I know you know that, and you know, from everything that you've learned, that's how you live, and I appreciate that so, so much. So it's really, really important that we have. So I just wanted to give you a second to say, you know, whatever, you know, some things and just to express you. And don't change anything, but I know that I know your spirit, and it is a warrior spirit, and that warrior spirit realizes that something. That there is something that we have to start changing in our lives in order for us to regain the prosperity that has been lost. Because if we don't, the whole world is doomed.
Absolutely.
The whole world is doomed. And it's going to be a continuous, perpetual hell until we decide to be the parents of this earth that the great creator, God Almighty, had instituted as a beautiful blue star. A beautiful blue planet that is three planets away from one of the great stars in this universe, the sun. So, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to further qualify my statement. I would say, for me personally, I have not ever met a white person that doesn't practice racism in some form or fashion, no matter whether they're abolitionists. Mm-hmm. If they're fighting, you know, trying to help non-white people fight against white supremacy,
right.
At some point there's a chink in their armor. I've heard so many episodes of The Cows that has proven that. I've dealt with it in my personal life, to the point where, for me, I believe they all are, and just from my own study, and I would say at minimum, I think that they should all be racist suspects at minimum for all black people. And there's been enough scholars, professors that have come on the Cows to actually discuss that fact, that as long as a person classifies themselves as white, if they say, I am a white person, this is what I'm aligning myself with, then they're aligning themselves with the system of white supremacy. When somebody asked me what racism is, there was a brother named Thomas from New York that called me. He said, I can break it down to two things, two words, white people. If you classify yourself as white, you are basically saying, I am rolling hand and foot with the agenda of white supremacy. And even if they are people who are working to better things, I'll go with Dr. Cambon. The number of whites that might truly be about change is so insignificant, it is like almost non-existent, which is why we're still in this situation. Because if there was a critical mass of white people who were truly about this, this would have been over. Essentially, white people could end this overnight just by treating people equitably and with justice, just like Brother Neely Fuller was just saying. If you're not about justice, you're not about anything. And the reason we haven't made headway is because even for those whites who are trying to do something, it's such an insignificant number that they're not even making a dent in the system whatsoever. So I totally understand where you're coming from. As far as your position, and again, VGQ, I don't judge any black person or non-white person for their interactions with people who they feel can help facilitate, because we have to work with people, so it's understandable. I just know, for me personally, that's been my experience, that's my approach, and it's just an understanding of the fact that for those white people who are trying to do something, they can choose overnight to say, you know what, I'm not aligning myself, but this is easier to just be a white supremacist. And there's people who have done that. They're recorded abolitionists, but they'll go around and support white supremacy. We're reading Medical Apartheid right now. Tonight will be the sixth book reading on the Cows. And all throughout the book, and we're only up to, I believe it's chapter 7, and all throughout the book, up to chapter 7 alone, there's been numerous so-called abolitionist medical practitioners that were racist to the bone, but yet they were known for perpetuating the idea that black people should not be mistreated and that they were abolitionists against white supremacy. So that's why I take the position I take, but I don't ever judge any person, black or non-white, who for their approach to dealing with the system, because we're all trying to do the best we can, and whatever we can do to make headway, even if it is working with a white person, that's all good. And some of them can be helpful. For me, the only white people that can be helpful are those that are willing to lay down their lives to protect non-white people from the assault of white people. And if you're not able to lay down your life like that or be willing to do so, then to me, it's not worth anything. Because, like,
hey,
I said,
can I ask the caller a question?
So I feel you.
Can I ask the caller a question?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it's important that we do know history and those things are true about the abolitionists. But for 3 years, we've been profiling abolitionists. We try on New Abolitionist Radio, we try to stick to black ones, but we don't want to be doing the same ones over and over. And so we try to talk about them all. And it's absolutely true that while some of them were against slavery for various reasons, different reasons, like some of the female white so-called abolitionists, some of them are only doing that because they felt like then women, that'll make it that much quicker for women to get, you know, equal rights and whatnot. And of course, they're still mad that black men got the right to vote before white women. They're still mad about that. But yes, there are some white ones that did give their lives. I mean, John Brown gave his life. His sons gave his life. And not only gave their lives, they took white slavers' lives. So I would say not only willing to lay down their lives, but willing to kill. Okay.
Absolutely.
And there are some white political prisoners I have learned about and highlighted on Political Prisoner Radio. I'm that show is on hiatus, but I still maintain the page. And the United Freedom Front, although it was some black people in it, it was mostly ex-military white males who were bombing corporations and embassies here in the United States during the Reagan administration because, you know, during apartheid, they were against African apartheid. So they were blowing up buildings and corporate headquarters and stuff like that. And they in prison for that. They lost their freedom for that, man. So but if we want to look at it in its totality, I would say less than 5%. I have known about less than 5%. You know, if we want to say white people, let's put them in a pool, what percentage of them will be willing to die and get their lives? I've only learned about maybe less than 5% of them, my study of history.
And I want to say,
and you know, Roz, real quick, let me just say this. And I just want to say, you know, everyone has their free will. Everyone has a choice. And some people take the easiest road out. And that's what people choose to do. And that's what you brothers are actually talking about. And that's exactly the way that I took it when you know, in the whole conversation. I just wanted to actually expand upon that because it's so valuable. You know, Ross, personal experience can't be denied. Cannot be denied. But there are also things that we don't know about that can't be denied either until we vet it and see it for ourselves, as been spoken. So every person has their own free will. So we don't really need to really give more to that than what it is, because the truth of the matter is this, is that the great creator God Almighty has not made any mistakes in everything. The choices of man is where all the mistakes begin and end, and that's where the change has to start. So hold on, Rod. We got some other people in queue. I don't want to run them out. They've been sitting on hold for a little bit. Let me get to them too. Hold on one second.
No problem.
Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name? Where you're calling from? What is your question or comment?
Hey, this is Brother Davis, man. I'm calling from Florida. But listen,
hey,
this is exactly why I say people should be sitting down with a pencil and a piece of paper when they listen to the Tando, when they listen to Black Talk Radio, because in the last 5 minutes, several shows that are programmed, featured here on Black Talk Radio, have been discussed boldly in cross programs. So it lets you know that the proliferation of knowledge is here. So we should be able to tap into it accordingly. I also wanted to comment, brother, you put out so much information. I wanted to point out that the reason why families keep secret is the personification of truth. They don't want the truth out because it would reveal something. Anytime you're in a state of personification, that means that you could or you cannot. Now, the sad part about in tyranny, the state of personification depends on how well you emulate that person who's bringing the terror upon you. And that's why we as a people have a problem, because we focus more on white supremacy. See, white people can always go back to their community, and once again, they enjoy the luxuries of being what they consider white privilege. See, we don't have that. So therefore, when we go back to our communities, we are going back into a state of where we're comfortable. But the personification that we put on to fit into the system literally eliminates our thinking in detail about who we are, because we're trying to fit into their pattern. Look, I'm going to regress. I just want to put that out there real quick, because everything you said in reference to the history, your wife's family and everything, and how you tied it in with your own teachings and what you're learning, not only from Black Talk Radio, but from Tando Radio and your own individual study, reflects exactly the statement of personal personification. Y'all be blessed.
Great, great. Thank you, Brother Davis. Great call as always. Peace to you. Roz, go ahead, and then Brother Braggs, sorry, bro. Go ahead, then we'll go to you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say to Brother Scotty that I think he's doing exemplary work. Matter of fact, yesterday there was a program that you were playing called the Invention of Whiteness, I think it was called, and I wanted to know if there was a link for that, because actually it was a white guy who was doing, I guess it was like a study session of some sort, that I found to be very profound. And I wanted to ask about that, but lastly, I just wanted to say, I totally understand where you're coming from, Scotty, and I know that there's quite a few white people that have absolutely, you know, made quite heavy sacrifices as far as trying to help non-white people. It was funny because I remember Guts was talking about John Brown, and he talked about the fact that when John Brown went on his I guess you could say revolutionary, made his movements, that the first casualty of his attack was a black person. And I feel that if white people are going to help us, there should be probably no black casualties. Like, in my opinion, like, it should be white people fighting white people, and they should be assisting us, because we're the ones in a position that's lower because of white supremacy. So I totally feel you, and I agree with everything that you said. I think.
Hold on, bro. Because you just said something, and let me tell you something. Let me tell you why. I love what you just said. Let me tell you why. And this is just my personal, and I'm not saying that anything that I say is validated and true. There's opinions that we have. Just because you have an opinion doesn't make it right. Let me give you my opinion of what you just said. That is absolutely true. Let me tell you why. Because I know from my moral convictions, I'm not a respecter of person. I respect people. I know from my moral convictions, I don't care, wrong is wrong. I'm going to stand up to whomever it is, regardless of what it is. That's where my stand will be. And that's why I totally feel you on that, is that there should be an example of somebody saying, we will not stand for this, because we will not be a part of this. And then it transcends anything, the falsehoods of everything, and it starts to really go to where it really matters. It's really a few people through the indoctrination of enslavement and bondage that is trying to capture everyone. Because I don't know if we notice, but there is going to be a change in this world, and there are going to be new slaves. And those slaves aren't just going to be brothers and sisters of color. They are going to be people of all ethnic groups and races. This is the plan of those that are here to deceive. And the deceptor loves to stand back and to make themselves cloaked in the emotion of deception so that we won't see where the real attack is. Brother, you are absolutely right on that. If the fight should be between, no, I see you at what you're doing because I've been there with you. I won't stand for it. And here's the stand that I'm making, because I know me, I would make that stand anywhere, in any city, in any place, with any person, because that's just my moral conviction. True, true, true. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, Brother Braggs, you there?
Yeah, I'm just sitting back here. I enjoy this brother so much. He touched on some things, you know, some of my pet projects, ritual murder, Holocaust. And he touched on them. I don't know if you go deep into it as I go, but if you check, you'll see there's been a black Holocaust going on for like 400, 500 years. It's many things going on. I enjoyed you immensely, brother. We need to talk sometime. I definitely, when you host, I'll definitely pop in one day, because I love it. I enjoyed it immensely. No doubt, Dave.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, it's something that is no way that we can deny, and we need to know these things so that we ensure that they will never repeat themselves. But also, we can never become what we had to endure. And I'm not saying Ross said that at all. No, that's not what he was saying at all. But that's one of the things. Because when something is that foul, and you totally are disconnected from it, and you will not stand for certain things. There are certain things I won't stand for, regardless of what it is. And that is something that defines your overall character, because it's essential that we understand something, is that the great creator never created the deception. It was the deceiver that did, and that deception is deep. And at some point, we need to realize that we need not to give energy to that, because we have great capabilities in our own, you know, our own confines to create. And that's where we really are. So, without a doubt, this is something that is has to be discussed. It has to be completely vetted. It has to be brought in the forefront to ensure that it doesn't happen again. And we have to prosecute those that have engaged in that, and those that have privileged from that. There is also a downfall to you for that as well. So I just wanted to say that. Man, time is just totally flying. Rod, go ahead, man.
Yes.
We don't have any other callers, because I want you to definitely express what you want to express, because it's important to you. Because of who you are and what you care about, and that is our people. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say absolutely, it's not about going out and becoming what white people have been to us at all. The whole idea is that injustice against one person is injustice against everyone. So in stating justice, you have to be able to, like you said, hold people accountable. And I do understand also it's hard, because when you deal with such horrible oppressive brutality, it's very easy to say, I want to do to them what they did to me. That's just natural, I think, a natural human reaction to sustained oppression and abuse and genocide, but that is not the way to do things. What it's all about is really fostering an understanding of who the enemy is and how they function,
right?
So that even if you're working with someone who may be a white person who actually is telling you, hey, I really have, you know, good intentions towards making headway, work with them. But at the same time, maintain your suspicion. Don't ever get to a place of, like you said, blind faith, to the point where that person might be able to work iniquity and you not be consciously aware of it, simply because you might share a certain position as far as abolitionism or anything like that. So really, it's all about being conscious at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Situational awareness, just like Brother Scotty Reed always talks about, battlefield awareness, and also just generalship.
Discerning.
General never gives out all his information regarding tactical maneuver to all of his soldiers. He tells the specific soldiers just what they need to accomplish the mission. Because if the soldier knows everything and they get caught, they're going to reveal that information through torture, and your whole mission is ruined. So you only deal
compromise
with in the capacity to which you can utilize their help to get to where you need to go.
Hey, you know
and
what?
You're able
on
to do
that,
you're good to go.
Compromise.
On that note, what he's talking about, you also never reveal all your information to quote unquote allies either.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because but I also just want you to consider. This week, Wednesday night, I can't think of his name, but it's in the archives of New Abolitionist Radio. highlighted abolitionists, a black abolitionist, former enslaved African, bought his freedom for $50 and then became one of the richest persons, and when I say rich, meaning land and you know what I'm saying, you know, wealthiest persons in that particular area of where he was living with. And he devoted most of his wealth towards abolitionism and setting people free. But he came to the conclusion, and why it struck me is because I had been thinking the same thing and expressing it in recent weeks. But this abolitionist, former enslaved African, later a freedom fighter, came to the conclusion that racism and white supremacy was a symptom of slavery. And I say the historical record would suggest that first it was slavery, then came the white supremacist codes, which stripped melanated people of their quote-unquote rights to bear arms, right to bear witness against a white person. I mean, during the colonial times, you couldn't even defend yourself as a black. A white person could come up and punch you in the nose and you couldn't do nothing about it. This is in some of their laws, man, and that's why it is important to study.
And those laws,
man,
are still on the books. They never take them off the books. Go ahead, Scotty, go ahead.
Well, they will repeal some of them and then they'll bring them back using tricky language. You know what I'm saying? 13th Amendment is a perfect example. Oh, we're abolishing slavery.
It's a perfect example. Abolishing, right. That's why they're
standing on stolen land. That's why. You're standing on stolen land. At that time, they still had blacks that were here when they came here that were walking around, and they were enslaving those blacks. Some of those blacks, they didn't play that. They were killing, and they didn't play.
But we also know
on land that was inhabited by black people already. Right.
And we're supposed to let me just shout that out on Tando. We got a new program joining us, a brother from Alaska. That's all his program is going to be about, the indigenous black people that lived here in the Americas. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that program. He's supposed to launch in June.
Me too.
Yeah, that I'm looking forward to. You know, and one of the things to make the point, you have to be careful of someone that says that they're an abolitionist. You definitely have to, and you always have to look at the people's deeds and not their creed. And let me give you an example of that. Salmon P. Chase, who the Chase Bank is named after, he wanted to enslave everyone even more, but he actually professed to be, and they called him an attorney, a lawyer that was an abolitionist. No, that's not what he was. That's just that wasn't who he was and what he was all about. That was the trick, because it sounds good. It sounds just as good as civil rights. Civil rights was the worst thing that ever happened to black people. And it is the worst thing that ever happened to any person in itself, because most people that don't understand that is because they never read the Civil Rights Act. And if you do, you will see where the flaw is. It's the word exactions, which is nothing more than extortion, which is nothing more than a tort, which is nothing more than taking what is not owed and not due. And we champion that every day, and that is the worst thing that ever happened to everyone, because it actually revolutionized the enslavement. Hey, brothers, I just want to say we're pretty much out of time. I just want to thank Rod. I'm going to give you Brother Bragg's number, okay? Because Brother Bragg's wanted to talk to you, so I'm going to give you that number. I just want to say thank you, brothers. Thank you, my man Rob that called in. Rob, thank you as always. Brother Braggs, my brother, Brother Davis, thank you. Scotty, I truly, truly cherish you, and this is what it's all about, where brothers and sisters can come together to start to actually orchestrate and start to make the architectural necessary moves to build what we have surrendered. That's the key, what we have surrendered. Because there are many of brothers and sisters that we don't know about because they refuse to endure. And they said, no, it's going to be a fight to the death. much love, much respect to them that made that great transformation into the eternal realm, that they now have great peace of power as they move on in eternity, like you all will. So everyone, much love, much respect. We'll talk to you soon. It's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. Peace, peace, peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up.